thank you again for lifting up that joyful noise. I love how church is one of those places where you can just be in music, be in the arts, and just lift up a joyful noise many times throughout the year and just elevate our souls to God. And so I'm very thankful for that this morning of the noise here. It's a joyful noise, excuse me. But continue the gratitude, as Pastor Jen preached last week about giving thanks and how it's the other side, the thunder and the lightning of grace. There's other parts of the Bible where this is intertwined, and one of the biggest ones is prayer. And so today we turn our hearts and minds to prayer. Today, next week, and the week after. Today we'll have a broader conversation and just hear different pieces and then dive in a little bit deeper next week and bring it to action on the final week on the 11th as we have our Jump Sunday. And so I'm excited to be a part of this. But one of the things that came to me as she was sharing last week is how subversive gratitude is. It's something anyone can offer to a joyful heart, to give thanks no matter your circumstances, as 1 Thessalonians put forward. But as I said, it also shows up many other places. There it says, pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. In Colossians 4, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. They are intertwined in how we go about things. And if being thankful can be subversive, prayer can be dangerous. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to fall on your knees about something you want change for and to bring it before God. Things can happen. Your life can be messed with. One of the great letters to the church, Paul in Ephesus, wrote prayers several times. And in his letter, twice he writes prayers, and he talks about the power that God wants to work through us. And Ephesians 1, verse 18, he says, I pray also that you, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened, in order that you know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And you sense the power of Christ who supports the church. But he continues because he keeps going back to prayer, keeps connecting to God before he goes forth, and from that draws his own power of ministry. And so in chapter 3, verse 14, talking about his mission to the Gentiles, he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Have you imagined great things? Have you asked for great things? God can do more. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, prayer is a powerful way of connecting to God. When we align ourselves in prayer with God, some says it's how a straw contains the wind that passes through it when it aligns the right way. The whole Gulf Stream can pass through that straw. So also we, when we align ourselves with God and allow him to work through us, a mighty, powerful work can be done in this world for the transformation of it. Part of talking about prayer is to confess I am learning. I have a lot to say about prayer, but I have so much more to learn. I look forward to continuing to hear your stories, your prayer lives, It was great this last week to go to both the women's prayer meeting at Mondays from noon to one, which happens week after week after week. And the men's prayer meeting also from noon to one on Wednesdays, which happens week after week for years prior. It is a powerful thing which sustains the life of this church. And as I said, I'm excited to learn more. But before we continue, let us participate in this which we talk about and go to God in prayer. God, we're here once again to begin our weeks elevating our thoughts, our feelings, our imaginations to you. To slow down from the chaos of the weekend and the week prior to pause and to be present. God, just as there are technological difficulties this morning, so also in our life, so often difficulties arise which threaten to rob us of our peace. God, we pray and ask that you set those aside, that we can be present. And heed this interruption as something that calls us to deeper presence, to pay attention to that which you would have us call our eyes. So God, give us eyes to see as you renew our mind this morning. Give us ears to listen as our hearts open to hold your word. Lord, and allow us to give thanks to you in all things, no matter where we find ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Pastor Jen shared, my kids were up here. They had camp this week at Camp Rivervale, one of our Methodist camps in the state of Indiana. And if you've never been to a camp in Indiana, it is awesome to get away, as Jesus did constantly, to be present to God's word. But when they got back in the car, they just kept talking, and they kept talking, and they kept talking about their week, over one another, and interrupting one another in a joyful noise. And I realized then that it's very similar to what Yogi Berra says, is that we can't start any conversations because everyone is talking. I was hearing a lot, but there was not this back and forth, which I would have loved to happen. And I realize that happens so often in our conversations with God. We have so much we want to say to God that we don't allow for this back and forth. Conversation is something I dearly love with God as well as with all of you and whoever I meet. I find that if you're present to conversation, you learn something about somebody else, which you carry with you. It changes you. It allows you to see the world in a new light and lifts your spirit as you see there's so much more going on than you could ever imagine from just my perspective. And it's something that I hope we all participate in, this good conversation, but it's also something I hope we participate in with God. Recently, I've had this privilege of being able to talk to our senator, Mike Braun. He contacted me after I sent him an email about some of my thoughts, and I went around and I started talking to people. What are your thoughts on immigration or foster care or other matters? I'm like, I'm going to share them because we have a responsive senator, and that's an awesome thing. But then I realized, we have the God of the universe willing to talk to us. How many times have I gone out in the streets and said, hey, John, hey, Bill, I'm going to talk to God today. What do you have to say to him? I'd love to bring that before him. Like, have you thought about it? The power available to us. So often we get in meetings all day long, and for some of you, depending upon what your career path is, you may think that's all you do is meet in meetings. And good conversation happens, but you gather thoughts and these plans, and you go and act on it. But that's within a very limited resources. The God of the universe wants to talk to us. Hebrews tells the story about how Jesus went into the throne room and how he's the one up there heeding our every call. It says this, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, he ascended up. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, we have access to that throne of grace. We have one who's been in our shoes, who knows what we've been through and can bear our burdens. He's not threatened by our sins that we confess to him, but he carries those faithfully. That's what the power we have in Jesus to go forth. You know, I wish I could come up here and somehow talk you into meeting what that song says, a sweet hour of prayer. Not a sweet 30 seconds as I'm falling asleep of prayer. Not a sweet 15 minutes over, but a sweet hour of prayer. I confess, I rarely get there. But it's my hope that you get there. But there's no amount of words I can use to get you there. Just like there's no manipulation of your schedule I can get you there. All I can do is show you the power of prayer. I heard a pastor preach on this and shared that if I needed you to have a response of getting out in the foyer because I wanted to give you each a $100,000 check, I could stop right now and I don't need to go on for 20 or 30 more minutes in a sermon. The information's out there. Likewise, with the power of prayer, talk to people, read your scriptures, go throughout history. Any great event, flip back a few pages and you see the power of prayer. The power of prayer which can work through you. It is my prayer that we all find ways of accessing that power as we go forth. And so I hope that we continually return to this power that God has to offer to us. You know, sometimes we return to the scenes of great prayers. I had the privilege of going to Jerusalem in the Wailing Wall, and people put their prayers in there because they know of the prayers that have occurred there over the millennia. And something about the proximity allows people to go forth. Or maybe in your life you've had a prayer that you've done and it worked, and so you repeat it over and over. Or maybe you're yearning more and we go to teaching on prayer that is effective in the past. And it's good things to be reminded of those moments. But have you ever been there where you couldn't go to a scene, you couldn't go to a teaching, life just hits you in the face where you fall to your knees in prayer? Maybe it's a phone call saying a loved one passed away. You know, I'm a little exhausted this week. My friend died this last week suddenly, age 36, had 3 kids. And you just don't know what to do but to cry out, "Why, God?" You know, I think that's kind of the moment that we see here in Scripture in Matthew, where the disciples are finally seeing Jesus weeping, coming out with blood, as the anguish that he felt as he went to Gethsemane. You know, there's so much about this that I love to talk about, and just doing it during the Passion Week. You know, we have this great liturgy, the church year, and we see so much there. But now that we're in this season called Ordinary Time, sometimes it's good to go back and peek again. What Jesus underwent that night he was betrayed. You know, Gethsemane means oil press, and a lot's been made about how the press of the world, of the sin, came upon him, and he bore, that started to begin to bear that night. And in Matthew, we see this scene of Jesus just weeping, and he's asking his friends to come with him. And there's so much about that story which we will return to come Easter season and the Passion Week. But for me, for now, I want to elevate the act. You see, Jesus had traveled around and he had told people how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, when he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The very first public act Jesus did was praying on the banks of the Jordan when the Holy Spirit came and God opened the heavens and spoke. His last act is on the cross of prayer, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He goes on to lift up prayer in his ascension. In between, it seems like every single page, Jesus is a terrible preacher, or at least a terrible leader of a growing church, because every time he had an audience and a crowd, rather than to get them all into the right groups and have momentum, he says, "Go away, I need to pray." The Son of Man, the Son of God, found his strength and power in prayer. Luke 5 talks about it this way. It says, immediately he stood up. Wrong verse. 5, verse 15, he says, yet the news about him spread all the more about Jesus, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Again, great momentum. But Jesus, but means not that, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We catch Jesus praying by himself often in Scripture. Before he picked the 12 disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer on a mountain. If the Son of God thinks prayer is important, I believe it's something we should elevate as well. But it's not just something he went and did and hoped people caught him in. We find here that Jesus is doing exactly as what he taught others. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. He says, my Father, your will. You see, he's praying the Lord's Prayer in this context. We'll talk about it next week more about it's not those exact words, but the spirit of the prayer. Lead me not into temptation. If it's possible, take this cup from me. He's praying the Lord's Prayer in a time of dire circumstance in Gethsemane, and his disciples happen to overhear it. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Friends, it is open to us, this access to God, that we can go forth and we can see all sorts of things that God has planned for us. Another hymn reads this way, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's a privilege. We're not alone. God wants to hear it. God wants to talk to us. God wants to use us with his power. I mean, maybe part of the problem is we don't know what prayer is. I know I still struggle sometimes in different definitions. Essentially, what I've come with, it's conversations with God. It's a talking, a pausing, a listening, a responding. Sometimes it gets heated. I mean, go back and look at Abraham arguing with God. Sometimes it's confession. God, I messed up. Sometimes it's lamentation. Why, God? How long? Sometimes it's begging him to act like Elijah with the prophets of Baal to rain down fire. Or a couple pages later where he calls on God to bring rain. And he doesn't stop when the clouds appear, but he keeps praying it through faithfully until it begins to pour. And sometimes it's praying to God that's saying, I'm done. It's asking God for sickness, for his will. It's in this conversation we realize as God speaks, he keeps bringing things up, and we see that to respond to God is a right ordering of our life. Recognizing that so often we ask for things that don't always come true. We realize that God is responding in such a way that he's trying to help us realize that maybe it's the way we're asking the question, the way we're listening to the response that's keeping us from being blessed within this. God calls us to call on those who persecute us, not just our friends. You see, that's what the love that God has for us, the power of prayer, is it brings up other people in our minds, not in a condemning way, but in a way in which as we think about them, we think, not God, I hope you get them, but God, I hope you pursue them with your love. I hope you can use me to find a way to help find that pain in their life, to point that out. It says to pray for the authorities around us, all the saints in the church, the peace of Jerusalem, the power of laying on hands, the moving of mountains. So many things that we are to lift up to God. It does not stop. Story after story after story. One person said that prayer is the essence of religion. Religion without prayer is dead. Because prayer is this grand space that we are real before others. And in that realness, we acknowledge how fallible we are. Or as Soren Kierkegaard put it, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. You see, it's physics, in a way. If I go like this, and a week later you want to find an FBI analyst or CSI comes in here, they'll be able to find some of my skin cells here and show that I was here. See, I changed. I, the softer substance, came into contact with the harder substance. So also I, who am trying to create my virtual life, my life that is done in virtue of the things God gives me, who is the real sustainer, when I, in my virtual life, comes into the realness and the reality of God, I change. There's nothing I can do but change. If I am open to what God has to say, even my resistance of it is going to impact me and change me. To pray is to change, and it is a dangerous thing because it doesn't just fit within the category of what you asked. It has a tendency to bleed over into your Friday nights or who you hang out with on Tuesday mornings. You see, God wants our whole life because when we align our whole life, he has the power to use us in new ways. Or as Oswald Chambers says, prayer is the greater work because God wants us to become a person through whom God answers prayers. It allows us this chance to participate in God's grand plan beyond what we understanding. There is no distance. Have you noticed that? That threatens the work of prayer. Paul's writing his letter to Ephesus, those three prayers, and at the end he says, pray for us in our hour of need, and talks about it. But that letter probably didn't arrive till months later. Even time isn't something that gets in the way. If you pray for things here, for somebody consistently that's in California, I guarantee you will get a call about something crazy happening in California down the road. In 1949, in the Isle of Lewis in Scotland, there was this revival called the Barvis Revival. They said nearly 20,000 people came to Christ. There was such a movement of the Holy Spirit that the courts ceased to operate because no one was breaking the law for several weeks. It said for 5 weeks of sustained... One of the other miracles, they said when the service started, there was silence the whole time because people were just expecting God to show up. But as they investigated it, they discovered these two separate groups who were in prayer for years prior. The Smith sisters, not able to go out, ages 82 and 84, to go to church anymore, but just praying over the people by name for revival to break out. Across the islands, a group of seven men who gathered every week and then daily until the Holy Spirit fell on them and they called the pastors and said, be ready, it's coming. Prayer did that. People faithful in prayer. The Bible says, all things I will grant to you that you ask. I know we often just go to God with the big things, right? The medical issues. When I had the privilege of serving a Christian ministry in the national parks out in Yellowstone, I was a great group of young guys, and one of them who came to visit told the story about prayer, about how they were changing oil. Couldn't get the nut off. Everyone tried. They tried wrenches and everything else, and finally he said, what are we doing? He goes, come here. They held hands and prayed. Reached underneath, came right off. This week, I confess, I could not find my wallet. I'm like one of those people, like I walk out the house, it's my keys, my phone, my wallet, every time. I got halfway through my day, I was like, where's my wallet? I don't know. I have no idea. And I got down on my knees and prayed finally, because after calling and doing all the things I could do, I was like, I have no idea. And seriously, like, what came to mind was my robe. And I called my wife and said, hey, look in my robe. Maybe I put it in there last night. And she went and said, no, it wasn't there. And so whenever I went home at lunch, I realized she checked the wrong robe. It was right there underneath my robe. Such a tiny, tiny thing, yet God answered my prayer. The cry of my heart as it came out. But another reason why we're looking at this passage is that God does not always answer the prayers. He says no. Or sometimes we're so tuned into what we want that we don't realize God is giving us an answer in the other direction behind us. The reality is we all fail to bring things to God, me especially. I'm going to be better every day is my prayer. That God teaches me to pray, that he gives me a spirit to pray, but I fail. You see, here in Gethsemane, Jesus knows what God's will is for him, and he doesn't say, "Yes, God." He says, "God, no, I don't want to do this. Let this pass from me." Because when God calls us to act, it's not all rainbows and sunshine. He calls us to suffer for his people. He calls us to be willing to be answered for that power to flow through us, but it comes at a cost of our lives. And so here in Gethsemane, C.S. Lewis says, what Jesus did in Gethsemane is the only model that works for us. The mountains can wait. Life is crushing us. We fall on our knees in that moment of need and just asking for God to relieve it from us. And so I ask, as God is always answering prayer, but are we always listening? God is always asking us to change in his way, but are we willing to align with what he brings forth? It's one of the most humbling things when I look at my life to know that my God speaks to me. God, who is perfect and wonderful through what Christ did, he will speak to me? It's so humble. There's this prayer that a soldier wrote back in one of the world wars, speaking about this. He said, "I asked for strength, Lord, that I might achieve. I was made weak, that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health, that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity, that I might do better things. I asked for riches, that I might be happy. I was given poverty, that I might be wise. I asked for power, that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness, that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things, that I might enjoy life. I was given life, that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I had asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." So I returned there. Have you ever been in that moment of need to cry out to God? Friends, what I want to share with you today is that now, in the next hour, in the next day, in the next week, are all those moments of need. God wants to work through us, to bless us, to be present with us in ways beyond our understanding. If you feel called to something more in prayer ministry, talk to Pastor Jen or I, and I'd love to get that started to continue to allow Central to be a light to this community. You'll be sustained through the power of prayer. Please pray for your church staff as we try to become a more prayerful staff. Pray for your teams here in committee meetings that they become more prayerful meetings, and I've experienced a very prayerful one. And pray for me as I hope to be a more prayerful pastor. But for now, let us all just know that the throne of grace is available, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence, for the privilege of speaking with you. God, prayer upon prayer, if we go back to back, praying through song, regardless of whether we know the information, Lord, let us be formed in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.